You're listening to Public Radio from Western Michigan University, 102.1 FM WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. In honor of Women's History Month, we hear from a family member of a woman who made significant contributions to medical breakthroughs in cancer and AIDS, even in the discovery of the polio vaccine. The problem is, Henrietta Lacks, an African-American woman who had cancer, didn't consent to that. Her cancerous cells were sent to a researcher without her knowledge, and then he reshared it around the world. Joining me today is Jermaine Jackson of Kalamazoo, a nephew of the late Henrietta Lacks. He's put together a traveling exhibit about his aunt. Welcome, Jermaine.
Well, thank you for having me. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you related to Henrietta Lacks?
Yes, so my grandmother, Bessie Lacks, is Henrietta Lacks' sister-in-law. They are married to brothers.
What are some of the contributions to science that the cell line from Henrietta Lacks contributed to?
Wow. It is so much. But I would highlight maybe some of the things that most people know about. As mentioned, the first was the polio vaccine. And also her cells are responsible for cancer research. So any type of cancer cure treatment that any of us receive today is due to the research done through HeLa cells, as well as the current COVID vaccine that many of us are taking right now. The research was done using, again, HeLa cells. And most of our over-the-counter medicine in our medicine cabinet, believe it or not, like your Benadryl and things like that, all of those things were researched through HeLa cells in order to come up with those prescriptions.
Let's take a moment to talk about her cells and why they are so fascinating. When researchers do their research, as I understand it, it's really hard to replicate cells outside the body. And in her case, her cells kept replicating and replicating and replicating. And so, therefore, they're the kind of the go-to cells for research.
Yes. It's fascinating. It is yet still a mystery. So I don't feel as bad because not being a doctor or scientist, but even scientists are still baffled at how many things that they're able to accomplish using her cells. And because of its nature of, yes, not dying, multiplying, expanding itself, it has helped in so many different things. And of course, it is the only cell line that's used for cloning. So any cloning method that have happened through this cell line. And yes, it is certainly a very easy go-to for scientists. And so they love to just have this in the arsenal to use.
What is it that you would like the world to know about Henrietta Lacks? You've created this traveling exhibit. What is it and why did you create it?
Yeah, so the purpose of this particular exhibit was really an educational tour. To talk about the good, the bad, and the HeLa, it is made up of four different walls, a history wall, an artistry wall, a wall that's called the mortal Henrietta Lacks, and then the immortal Henrietta Lacks. And so I want to educate people on her to let people know that she is more than just her cells. You know, so many in the science world only know about her cells, and then you got some people that know about Henrietta Lacks and have no knowledge of what her cells have accomplished. And so I wanted to bring to light and educate everyone on who she is as a person, that she was, a human being, that she was a mother, that she was a grandmother, she was an aunt, she was a sister, she was a wife. You know, she was all of these things, because sometimes I think we can just dehumanize the story by just speaking about her cells without acknowledging her.
Would this make Henrietta Lacks your aunt? I'm not quite sure.
Yes, aunt by marriage.
The other day, I attended a presentation that you gave at the Western Michigan University School of Medicine virtually about Henrietta Lacks last month. You said that you had always heard about Henrietta Lacks as a child. And as a child, you were a little bit doubtful, and you were a little bit confused, a little bit about what you were hearing. What is it that you were told, and who told it to you?
Well, yeah, I was really young, and so there was certainly a lot that I didn't understand. It sounded like something out of a sci-fi movie. My grandmother, actually, Henrietta's sister-in-law, my grandmother Bessie Lax, she was the one that was educating the family, and she was telling us about her sister-in-law. And of course, you know, she had passed early on in 1951. And so she was speaking about her sister-in-law in the past and was saying, like, you know, her sales did all these amazing things and her sales, like, you know, stayed alive. And like, but we didn't know like the full story. And so it was just kind of like this weird thing. And so I was just trying to like wrap my head around it. But yeah, she always had told us about, like, you know, something had happened with her sister-in-law. And I don't think she understood the depths of what even happened, but she knew that it was something unique.
In 2010, there was a book that was released that became a bestseller. It was called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. And it was then, the release of that book, if I'm correct, that kind of made you feel that this was more real and you started to really believe this.
Absolutely. You know, after seeing the book, and actually my grandmother, who had knowledge about the book, she called me before the book even came out and was like, hey, there's this book coming out about my sister-in-law. I want you to make sure that you reserve it for me, because I work at the library. And so she wanted me to make sure to reserve the book, because she just assumed that, hey, you guys are most definitely getting this book. And so I remember about maybe 2 months later, the book came in, and yes, it just was fascinating. And then I just connected the dots of like, this is the stuff my grandmother was trying to tell us when I was younger.
Wow. Describe just a few of the things that you have in the exhibit. You've created a virtual version. And how long is that? It was a pretty cool video. How long was that exact? Was it 15 minutes? It went very quickly.
Yeah.
Describe some of the very specific things that people would see. I know you talked about the theme of the different panels, but what might be some of the items that people would see?
Yeah. So there is a family wall. So you will see pictures of Henrietta Lacks, of family members, her grandchildren, pictures of her sails, which are blown up so that the naked eye could actually see what her sails look. And of course, they those have to be blown up and dyed in order to put color to them so we can see them. And then also even like a copy of her death certificate. And then there's an amazing artistry wall of about 7 artists who also contributed to this exhibit as well. So, yeah.
Are they local artists?
Some are local, some are out of town. But, you know, we got a native of Detroit that lives here now, native of Chicago, and a native of Mexico that lives, I think, in Matawan, and someone, I think, from Benton Harbor. And so, you know, in this like area.
So you commissioned them to do this art?
This actually started off with the Kalamazoo Public Library. It was in their art exhibit, the Barnaby, at the Elma Powell Library branch. And I pretty much was over doing a lot of the artistry work and bringing artists to that space. And so the Henrietta Lacks exhibit was one that I built up from the ground. And so a lot of that artwork was actually just given to me. Mm-hmm. And there was some of it that was actually that was purchased.
When was that exhibit shown in the Powell branch?
It actually was a few years ago. So it was probably about going on about 3 years ago now.
Okay. And I know that in general, descendants of Henrietta Lacks haven't been compensated financially from science using her cells. And though I know the pharmaceutical industry, you know, obviously has benefited in some way. And the hospital that took her cells, John Hopkins Hospital, in Baltimore, it was my understanding that they haven't benefited from that. I do know, I was reading somewhere, that the National Institute of Health has kind of reached an understanding with the family such that Henrietta Lacks's genome data will be accessible only to those who apply for and are granted permission. It's just not widely available. I had heard that some family members are concerned that revealing information about her, that it also could reveal information about them and their medical background. Are you familiar with any of that?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, some of that is actually a part of the exhibit to talk about some of those things and that timeline. And I believe that happened like in 2013, I believe it was. And that's sort of when there were some things done without the family's permission. And then it was brought back to the table. And then there was some type of negotiation that was worked out that brought the family members to the table. And I believe some of the family members that are at the table, and of course, you know, I'm a distant married in, or by, you know, in-law, by my grandmother being an in-law to the family or whatever. So the people that was at that table that I know of, I believe, are her grandchildren.
Right.
And I know David Lacks, one of her grandsons, is one of the people at the table, and I believe a couple of her granddaughters.
Where are you hoping that your exhibit will be shown?
Well, I'm hoping that, I believe that it's going to really take off around the country is the hope. And, of course, as we get past this pandemic, I'm hoping to be able to, you know, travel it because there's nothing better than in person. And so, but yes, I'm already getting phone calls. I'm already getting bookings in other areas. And so I'm just looking forward to it. And I'm just glad that I was able to produce something virtually just to kind of make it convenient during these challenging times of traveling and gathering in numbers.
What kinds of groups of people are you hoping will book your exhibit? What are you thinking?
Sure. Yes, schools. So whether it's public schools, private school, charter schools, college campuses, churches, any private groups, ethic teams, hospitals, cancer research facilities. I know we just got a new one here in town. And I actually was contacted by someone from Bronson recently. So certainly just looking to expand it to those different areas.
And when people book this exhibit, is it the type of thing, just to make sure that I'm clear, they could book it, like if it was out of town, they could book it and it could come without you and they can show it?
Actually, if it's booked, I travel the exhibit myself.
Okay, so the exhibit comes, you and the exhibit is a package deal, is what
right.
You're saying. Okay, because I can understand. Yeah. And then the other question I have is, certainly there's a certain amount of cost in putting things together. Did you receive a grant? How did you fund putting it together, as well as like the video and all of that?
Yeah, no grants or anything as of now. So basically I've just really self-funded this myself. So I just, again, built it from the ground up. And also even with the finances, there was a portion of it that was, given to me from the library that I will acknowledge. And that was like the history wall was a big part of what was given to me from the Kalamazoo Public Library. But other than that, yeah, I pretty much, financed like, the big bulk of this.
What do you hope people will get out of this?
Well, I really just hope that everyone would just, you know, walk away from this exhibit and understand a little bit more about who she is and what her sales have accomplished, that they would also just understand a little bit about our history in this country to understand the lack of ethics that existed. And, you know, there was just a lack of ethics in general, but especially for Black folks. And, you know, and unfortunately, I feel that still continues to be a problem. I often quote one of Dr. King's, one of his quotes that he spoke on, and that was, out of all the social injustices that exist on today, perhaps that medical are the worst of those. And I certainly believe that because that's just one of those hidden things that, you know, that most of us are not educated to understand enough about to know what's happening, what's taking place, You know, we see the other injustices because it's publicized, it's in the media, but it just seems like when it comes to the medical, it is certainly a lot more darker, hidden, and we're not educated on. I mean, when you think of the Tuskegee experiment and all these other things, you know, reading the book, The Medical Apartheid, it unveils, you know, so much of our ugly history of what have happened in the past. And there's this fear that some of these practices unfortunately still happen.
Now I have a timing question. You said it was a couple of years ago that this exhibit in some form appeared at the Powell Branch. Why now? What makes you do it at this moment?
Well, actually, it was sort of an afterthought after the exhibit. I mean, you know, so many people came to see it. A lot of people never had the opportunity to see it while it was up at the Elmer Powell Branch. And it just became this afterthought, like, you know, I can really take this and continue to educate people by, you know, traveling this exhibit. And so I kind of contemplated it for probably a strong year and a half, and then I began to put it together in a way that I can travel it. And some of those pieces were already purchased, and so I even had to reach out to people to get those items back on loan for the exhibit. And then also, you know, the idea was to actually launch this earlier in March of last year, and then the pandemic hit. And so that's actually what delayed us from doing it as soon as we wanted it to.
As we close, one of the topics that you touched on, and it's interesting that today, things that we take for granted, for example, when you go to the doctor's office, you sign something, a consent to treat, consent if a biopsy is done, where any of your tissues, if your tissues are going to be used for research, things that we take for granted today. And during the time of when Henrietta Lacks lived, she died in 1951. She was living during the days of segregation. And yeah, and even when she was treated at that hospital, it's my understanding that she was even treated in the colored section of the hospital.
That is correct. Yeah, so, you know, so for those that don't know, you know, her cells were taken without her permission or consent. And again, this was a common practice during that time. So it wasn't just like this thing that happened to her.
Exactly.
So happened, you know, she was at the John Hopkins hospital there in Baltimore, Maryland, and she was treated, and it was one of the rare hospitals that accepted Black patients. And of course, they had them segregated in their own wing or ward. And so, you know, this thing happened where they just happened to embark upon something very unique that maybe they weren't anticipating, you know, but it happened where they come across these immortal cells that was fascinating to them. And then, of course, you know, what was unique about it is that they actually try to cover it up, and they protected her name and her identity as a Black woman, and actually tried to identify these cells to a white woman. And later on, I believe it was after Dr. Gay died, that these files were exposed, and the name was exposed, that it was this Black African-American female by the name of Henrietta Lacks. And then, of course, it was at that time where they reached out, you know, to the family members and began to, you know, tell them about their mother cells, you know, being alive, and telling her husband and all these things. And of course, trying to get blood samples from the family members to see, like, is it something in the blood, or is this just some unique thing with Henrietta?
So wait a minute. If I'm understanding you correctly, you're telling me that at one time they totally changed the name and came up with a totally different name. And
yeah,
and said that it was, and outright said it was a white woman.
Yeah, that was the it was a lady that they identified, and they were saying that it was her cells, and she was a white woman. And I don't know if she was deceased or not. I don't recall that part, but I just know that they identified her as a different woman. And you know, one of the things that the doctor said at the panel with Western School of Medicine, one thing that he said that really just kind of provoked a thought for me, and he was saying, as a white doctor, he was like, well, perhaps they really said it was a white woman's cells in order to make this, when the vaccine came out, the polio, to make it acceptable, you know, to
the public,
the white community that would take the vaccine, because perhaps if they knew it was from a black woman, many would refuse to take it.
Interesting. Fascinating, fascinating story. Jermaine Jackson, thank you so much for talking to us about your late aunt, Henrietta Lacks, and all the contributions that she's made to medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Public Radio from Western Michigan University.